Practice makes perfect. Learn Minecraft.
Have you ever felt like you're the one that's holding yourself back from sharing your art with the world? Like, there's a little niggling, whispering voice saying, you're not ready or no one will care. Well, today's guest made a powerful choice to stop waiting and to start showing up. Jessica King, a professional pet portrait artist, went live every day on TikTok for an entire year, and the results were incredible. In this episode, Jessica shares how she turned fear into fuel. She built a thriving art business from scratch and discovered that confidence doesn't come before action. It actually comes from taking the first step. So if you're just starting out or battling imposter syndrome or searching for the courage to be seen, then this episode is exactly what you need. So let's get into it. Okay, so hi Jessica.
Hello.
It's so nice to have you back.
I'm sure I'll have just as much fun as the first time.
Yes, I'm so sorry that the sound quality wasn't good last time, but that means I get to draw with you again.
Yeah, no complaints here.
Yeah. So would you like to just quickly introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. My name is Jessica. My full name is Jessica King, and I have been a professional pet portrait artist for about, I want to say, 4 years now, but I've been doing it as like a side thing for a little bit longer than that. And I work primarily in colored pencils, and my specialism is realism.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow, 4 years, it's gone by really quickly.
Oh, yeah, you're telling me.
So why have you chosen this one for us today?
It's kind of like what you said earlier. I think I'm going to start because I feel like I didn't finish last time.
And
I'm
challenging
myself to finish. But the reason I chose this is it's a little bit what you were saying before, where there's just so many colours. And I'm really drawn to, no pun intended, I'm really drawn to photographs which display, that, I guess, that wealth of colour, something I've always kind of been interested in, I think.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that about your artwork. They're almost like rainbow, I guess, because you use so many beautiful layers of colour. It just gives your art so much depth and makes it very distinct for your style, I think.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind.
Yeah, I really like the way you layer your colours. I admired that last time as well, actually.
Oh, thank you.
So how are you starting off today, then?
Well, first of all, I tend to almost like treat it like a paint by numbers thing, just seeing different shapes. Mm-hmm. And in that way, I tend not to get as overwhelmed. I think that's one of the, I guess, the main things that people struggle with when they start with realism pencil work.
Yeah.
Is they see so much detail and they think, where do I even start?
Yeah. So do you try and block in the colors first then?
Yes, exactly.
And do you try and do like exact color matching, or do you sort of like approximate it yourself by eye? How do you sort of figure out what color is the right color to use?
I kind of approximate it. When I was younger, I actually talked about this recently on my own live, but I didn't have access to many colors. So I got really good at creating a color from 10 different ones rather than getting the exact color match right away.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a little bit similar to that. I kind of pinpoint an undertone that I see. So a lot of these like shadows, I see a lot of red, and I feel like to make them more vivid, I'll go in with the lightest color I can see. And that would be red. I think it's the same kind of thing, like if you're drawing black fur, you tend to go in with like blues and purples and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Same kind of vibe.
Yeah, very interesting.
So you're starting with the outfit.
Yeah, I thought I'd go different today.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'm trying a new technique because I'm trying to get quicker. So, I guess my sort of thing, yeah, I'm blocking in as well, but I'm starting with the outside this time to sort of, I guess, give me a base to work off to help me with my values.
No, I completely understand. I tend to do the eyes a little bit too light sometimes.
Then you have to go back, do you?
Sometimes, yeah. But
I
I get
find
why
that
you're
too.
feeling.
Yeah, so I always normally start with the pupil, I guess, as the darkest bit. But today I just want to start with the most block, I suppose, to try and really understand like where these colours are coming from.
Well, that's kind of what these exercises that you put together are for, aren't they? Like trying new things in like more of a more doable, like safer environment where there's no like pressure, I guess, to
Exactly.
get
There's no
exactly right.
pressure at all because I found that I wasn't able to practice as much when you're just going from commission to commission.
Yes,
And
exactly. There's too much pressure.
yeah, and because you have to get it right, there's not really any room for experimentation.
Yes, exactly. You think, well, I can't. If this takes me longer than normal, I have to start again. That obviously takes back my entire schedule. So there's a lot to be lost if you don't get it right.
So I just love these little 7x7 squares that I can just pick one and focus on like a specific thing. Like today, I want to try and get as much color in as possible before time runs out. I quite like time stuff.
I don't do it often, and I wish I did it more often because I do think I'm more efficient under a deadline. Not in like a rush kind of way, but in like a focused kind of way, I guess. And
I
it's
definitely
nice
like
to,
that.
yeah, exactly. I think it's nice to push yourself and maybe challenge the, oh, I couldn't possibly do that in an hour kind of thing. But that's not always the case.
So you mentioned earlier that you do lives. Do you want to tell us more about that?
Yeah, of course. So I tend to go live on TikTok instead. I try and go live at least twice a week, but there was a moment in my life where I went live every single day for a year.
Oh, wow. Really? Every day for a year?
Almost, yeah.
Almost. That's.
It was a shortcut to burnout, let me tell you, but it worked.
Wow, that's amazing. What a amazing accomplishment to be able to do that.
I guess I kind of had a moment of, I guess with my business, I had a moment of, if it's not now, it's never. So I had a thing of like, I'm just going to give it the beans, so to speak. I'm going to give it my all,
Well, it's
like a
definitely worked,
year.
hasn't it? Because you've
It's
managed to
not.
draw a huge audience by going live every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've met some really, really incredible people. I've made like a lot of artist friends. I joined an association since.
Oh yeah, which one?
The Association of Animal Artists.
Oh great, I'm a part of that one too.
I thought you were, yeah. But I would never have had the courage to do that before. And I definitely didn't have the courage to go live or speak on my art directly or film myself in my content before that. So,
Do
yeah.
you find that pushing yourself sort of in the deep end, I guess, and going live helped you gain that confidence a lot quicker than you would have?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've got a very, very bad habit of, I guess, not taking risks and staying in my comfort zone. And I realized that I was kind of the one holding myself back when it came to my business and my craft. And the fact that things went well after I started filming myself and my content and I started doing the lives, I think was just proof that it was me getting in my own way as opposed to anything else.
It's not necessarily because, I don't know, you weren't good enough in your craft or you didn't have something to say that was worth saying. It's just because you weren't reaching enough people, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, and I say this all the time, but if I'm not my own cheerleader, I can't expect anybody else to get behind me, I don't
That's
think.
very true, yeah. Definitely. We can definitely be our own worst enemy when it comes to doing art.
I think it's so easy, especially when you're starting out on social media, to be like, oh, I'm going to annoy people if I post every day. I'm going to annoy people if I post the same drawing, or who wants to see my face, or who cares what I think? And that kind of belief is limiting.
It's basically shooting yourself in a foot before you've even done anything.
Yeah, it's making the decision before anyone else even has a chance to. And
Which is
it's not productive.
no, it's not, especially if a lot of incredibly talented artists that just feel that way. They don't feel like what they have to say or what they have to show is good enough to get out there in the first place, so they just hide it away, I suppose.
I think it's a really common personality trait in artists. I think so, because a lot of us become artists through not being recluses, but from being a bit more introverted and I guess liking that meditative quiet time for ourselves.
I definitely love that because I love to just sit down and draw after a long day as soon as my daughter's asleep, that it's like the me time, and the last thing I want to do is like talk to people for hours. Yeah, so I totally understand that side too. But at the same time, I guess social media slightly makes it easier to be social because, like what we're doing now, no one's actually seeing our face. You don't have to get dressed up. You don't need to wear makeup. You don't need to like sort yourself out. You can just sit down and draw and chat.
You can kind of have a conversation with yourself about what your comfort zone is and take small steps without that. You don't have to show your face at all if you don't want to, but I do think having a means of contact with potential clients and other artists, I think, is a huge confidence booster. It definitely changed my life for sure.
Give us some tips then for other artists wanting to go live or thinking about it. What do you suggest doing?
Well, when I first went live, I had a hand towel because my hands got so sweaty because I was so nervous. But
Understandable.
just something silly like that, even just being
Okay.
prepared.
Just to keep wiping your hands. You don't have like soggy paper.
Exactly. But also just being honest with people. I found being vulnerable with people and saying, listen, I've not done lives very often. I'm kind of terrified, but I'm trying my best. I guess if people felt connected to me in that sense, it's okay to be vulnerable and honest when you're uncomfortable. I think having music on really helps. You
Okay,
can
yeah, I
get
have
away with
noticed
having music
that.
on.
Yeah,
I
you do
think
have music on your lives. I really like
I
it.
do.
It gives a bit of a ambience and sets a sort of mood for like the tone of your social media vibe, I think.
I mean, I put together all of like my relaxing music taste into one playlist, and I kind of use it as a people can pop in there even if like they're not even really interested in that. They just want like a nice
Listen.
little
Yeah.
they just relax for a little bit and watch something come together, because the amount of people that pop in that they're never going to be clients and they're never going to pick up a pencil, but they pop in because they find it, I guess, meditative in the way that we find it meditative to watch something, I guess, come
Yes.
to life slowly.
Yeah. Like watching
Yes,
people do
no.
sim builds.
Yes. I loved Sims when I was a kid. Absolutely.
I guess also the music aspect as well means that you don't have to fill empty space with talking. That's
Exactly.
actually a really good idea. I haven't thought of that.
I think it really, really helps me to think, oh, I don't have to be like super entertaining the whole time or put too much pressure on myself. You can just hum along, relax a little
Exactly,
bit.
because you're trying to draw.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, the multitasking. It's one thing having a conversation like with you, for example, but it's another obviously keeping up with the comments
Yes, okay.
and answering everybody's questions. And obviously some people don't realize that you're multitasking, so they can be a little bit like, why haven't you answered my question yet? And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I
Oh, okay.
haven't even read the comments yet.
Yeah, you're just so zoned out that you just forgot people. I have done that a couple of times on live actually, that I just forget that people are even there, and I've just like gone into my own world and just like draw. I'm like, oh, I forgot to look at the comments.
We're so used to doing it by ourselves in our own little world that I think sometimes that's very easily done, I think.
Yes. Okay. So paper towel and music. I like that. Yes,
And
very
again, just
good.
being
Very
honest.
helpful.
Yeah, just being
Yeah, I'm
honest if
being
you're
honest.
nervous. Asking other artists, there's plenty of people who go live. And it was actually Penciled by Beck who encouraged me to go live at first, and she gave me the confidence to give it a go myself. But yeah, having a community, just people to cheer you on, I think can make these things easier.
So how often do you go live now then? What's sort of flexible
It's
for you?
usually about twice a week, but again, I used to do it so much more often.
And how
But
come you've stopped then?
It's more because it put a lot of pressure on me. Plus,
Okay.
I draw a lot slower on live. So if I'm behind schedule or I need to get a commission done quite desperately,
Okay. Yeah.
it's better for me to do it off live. Plus, it was to avoid burnout. Like, it's not as necessary anymore.
Yeah.
So it's for
because
my
you've
own,
built that
like,
following.
well-being. Yeah, exactly.
Do you
I
find that
adapted.
your following is still like as active as it was when you were doing lives, or has it slowed down a bit?
It's more, I guess, because it's the same people now that I've built up an audience.
Yeah.
It's more or less the same, to be honest.
Okay,
and
okay.
I think some parts of the algorithm are out of my control, regardless of how much I go live.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of depends more on the algorithm than on me, to be honest. My stomach's grumbling. Apparently, I'm starving.
Oh.
Didn't realize.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear any grumbles in the background. My goodness.
Do you feel like it's helped you grow a really like supportive community for your artwork then?
Absolutely. One of the main things that I was scared about when putting myself out there is like, oh no, what if people are mean and I can't handle it?
Mm-hmm.
People are so nice. People are lovely.
Yeah. Honestly, they are. They're very supportive. I feel like some people are more supportive than like anyone I've ever known.
Genuinely, I'm like, why are these people who I've never met before more supportive than some of the people in my real life? It is baffling and honestly quite moving. The fact that these people, some people attend every live.
Really? Wow.
And I'm so moved by that because they've taken a moment out of their day to say hi to me and make sure I'm okay and see what I'm working on. And I guess just to be part of someone's like, I guess routine is just really nice.
Yeah,
I think it is. It puts a smile on my face.
No, that's really lovely. Do you find specific times work better, or did you just go live randomly?
I kind of go live whenever I get a minute, basically. I did try a schedule at one point. It did not work for me.
Oh, I see.
I'm neurodivergent. I've got ADHD and autism. So sticking to a schedule can be basically impossible for me, especially with my like sleeping schedule. It depends on the week.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it depends really. I just try and do it whenever I feel, I guess, more social and stuff. Because again, with being autistic, I'm not always up for it.
Yes, of course. Do you find that being autistic has using social media has sort of helped you in a way, because it's sort of like dipping your toe a little bit more than you normally would?
It's definitely easier than I suppose like what you'd have to do
like going out and actually talking to people.
I'd struggle with that.
Yeah.
I would absolutely struggle with that. Social media definitely makes it more accessible for me.
Yes, that's the word.
It's a little bit easier for me.
No,
it's nice to have like that middle ground, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's really interesting. I like learning more about how other artists I guess structure their businesses and their time, because everybody has, you know, I guess because we're all pet portrait artists, we have the same things to do, but we all do them very differently.
Yes, we all approach it so differently.
Yeah, which I find very interesting.
It's fascinating. I think the same thing, where it's like everyone's got their own schedule and their own priorities and the way that it works for them. And I think that's what makes, I guess, this job so special, is that it's so fit to the individual.
Yes.
And what works for them and what makes them happy.
Can you take me through like a typical day in the life that you do then?
Oh yeah, sure. So mainly I'll start the day with social media and emails.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll find diving straight into something like drawing is a bit too much for me as soon as I've woken up. So it's primarily basically everything that I can do under a blanket on a sofa.
Sounds nice, yeah.
I have a planner. I have a business planner. I make lists, so many lists.
Okay.
And then the idea is that I'll map out my day depending on how much energy I feel like I have that day.
Yeah, okay.
I feel if I map it out too far in advance, I put a bit too much pressure on myself.
Yeah,
and
I
especially
have a habit of doing
that. I have chronic fatigue syndrome. So
okay.
It's almost like rolling a dice every day to see like how much capacity I have for things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pick and choose from my lists and then think, okay, what realistically can I do today whilst also cleaning and whilst also doing the other things that an adult needs to do?
Yeah. No, that's very good.
So if I need to go outside, if I need to like package some stuff up, I'll tend to do that in the morning, start my day off with a walk.
Mm-hmm.
I think it stops me from getting trapped on the sofa.
Yes, good idea.
Then I can log all my receipts, note down the expenses, all of the boring stuff.
Yeah.
Email that to the client. I'll probably do a live at that point to kind of get me started. It helps with the motivation sometimes, I guess, for someone to hold me accountable.
Yes, okay. So I sort of make you sit there and actually start drawing.
Yeah, because I can't not draw if I've got an audience.
Yes. You have to do something, otherwise you're just sitting there.
I have the ADHD. I have to trick it.
Yes, that's very good. Very good.
I think, if I'm sat there and I'm thinking, oh, I need to draw, I need to draw, I need to draw, I need to draw. Why aren't I drawing? Why aren't I drawing? Best thing to do is to go live.
That's very good advice. I mean, finding it so helpful. Yes.
It helps me.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good.
And then when I'm already kind of in the zone,
mm-hmm.
then I can kind of work on it individually afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it helps to have like multiple things that I'm working on too. So like if I get bored of one thing, I don't lose momentum or speed.
Oh, I see. So do you work on multiple portraits at the same time then?
Up to three, usually.
Up to three, okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, yeah.
I know not everybody does that. I find that the longer that I try and force myself to do something I'm not really feeling that day, the more time I'm wasting.
Right, okay.
So I might as well just do what I feel like doing.
Yeah, so if you can swap between commissions, it makes it more enjoyable.
It also feels like if I've worked on multiple pieces on that day, it makes me feel a bit more accomplished too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good.
In the middle of it. How do you work? Do you work on one at a time?
I feel like I have to work at one at a time.
Ah.
Because I have to finish it. I have to complete it. Like, even though I do think I'm slightly ADHD, I'm finding this a lot more since having my child. I haven't been diagnosed yet, but I want to get diagnosed, but it just makes sense. I like to finish it. I feel like it's like almost a compulsion that I have to finish it.
No, that makes sense. It's so interesting how different people approach the same thing.
Yeah. Like, as soon as I started, because I also like to have the pencils out and the specific colours that I'm using and the tools that I'm using, I have to have them all, like, out, ready for me to use, and then I like to put them away and then get out new ones for the next one. Like, I feel like it would be too messy if I had three different portraits out with three different, like, pencil collections, and I'd find it too confusing, to be honest.
Well, I can confirm it is exactly what you fear it is.
Okay.
So disorganized, so messy, misplacing every pencil you can ever think of.
Oh, no.
But I can't stop myself.
Yeah.
I can't work any other way.
Yeah. The hyper-organized person in me can't do that. I have to have everything super, like, even I'd love to label them, to be honest. If I had a label maker, that would just be the end of everything.
I think with the way that my neurodivergence works, I would label it for a week and then it would get tossed aside.
Yeah.
And then it loses its pizzazz. It's not shiny anymore.
Yeah. Not fun anymore.
Not fun anymore. Now it's a task.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I'm so disorganized.
Yeah. I've got about 10 different diaries. I feel like no matter how many diaries I have, like, I
get a new one.
Think,
this is the time I fix my life. This is the one. And it has to be a new one.
Yeah. Always.
No, I'm with you there.
No. It's funny because I do find that I am very organized, but I still need a lot of diaries. I like write down the same task on like 10 different bits of paper, because not only do I have diaries, I also have, you know, those like desk mats of like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you can write down your to-dos and then you like tear it off when it's the end of the week.
Oh,
love those. Love those so much, because also they don't have dates on, so you can write the date on yourself.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, so I have one of those and I just love just like jotting down my to-do list for like the week. And because it's only like a week, it's not too overwhelming, I suppose.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then you just tear it off when it's done, or like me, you haven't finished most of them, so you just change the date and say that you're doing that next Friday instead of this
Yeah,
Friday,
just pretend you didn't see that. Just
Exactly,
continue.
yeah. But you can do that because it's a very flexible way of working, and I quite like those desk note pad things.
I might have to ask you about those after this.
All right.
Get a
Yeah, I'll
couple
send you a link.
pizza. Yes,
I've got.
please.
I'll try and find. Where is my? It's buried under some stuff. Here we go. This is mine, if you can
Ooh.
see it. The week.
Oh,
And
right.
then, so I actually try and put 2 days a week because sometimes I need to see 2 weeks, and then
Oh,
like
right, fair enough.
all of my to-dos, and then my tracker. But I never use a good habit tracker. Like, who can keep up with
I don't
that?
know a single person who actually manages that.
Yeah.
It's nice to think that you can be the person to do it. I've never been the person.
Yeah.
I know myself too well at this point. There's
Yeah,
no.
I did try and start, oh, drink water.
Oh my gosh, the water thing. I have like electrolyte powder that I put into all my drinks because I'm so bad at staying
Is
hydrated.
important to stay hydrated when you're drawing, isn't it?
Well, you forget. You get so absorbed into it, and then before you know it, you're hunched back, your shoulders hurt, it's been 4 hours, you haven't eaten.
Yes, that's not good.
Time doesn't feel real.
So
And then my
can
partner comes home and he's like, "Who is this goblin? I thought this
you
was my partner."
Oh
I need to feed and water her like she's a
no.
plant.
Oh. So tell me more about how you approach social media then, especially for people who are just starting out and feeling like the algorithm is against them and things like that. Like, how do you sort of, I guess, sort of view it in terms of trying to not feel negative about social media?
You know, it sounds weird, but when I went live every day, I also posted every single day. I tried posting every single day on Instagram and TikTok. And I found that, don't get me wrong, like it was difficult getting all of that content on a regular basis. But I found that if something didn't go well, I didn't have that same sinking feeling because I had that, oh, well, I'll just try again tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I'll just post it again tomorrow. It's fine. Like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah. I guess
But
sort of
because I
like,
was doing it every single day, I was increasing my chances. Because social media can be a bit of a
yeah.
lottery.
Yeah.
So viewing it as a lottery and thinking,
Yes.
how many tickets can I have in this game? Rather than
Yes.
thinking, can all of my individual posts do well? Really,
Yeah.
really helped me. Really, really helped.
Yeah, because it's that thing of like you do sort of like need to be posting a lot rather than just once a week. Otherwise, all of your interactions and engagement and followings and hopes of making a sale lies on that one post rather than seven posts,
Yes.
doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think rather than quantity as well, because I've started posting a little less as well, just for my
Yeah.
own peace of mind,
Yeah.
I think consistency is more important.
Okay.
I'm not saying like only post once a month, but I found that even if I post twice a week, if it's on the same kind of day, if it's the same time, even just having that building that habit makes it a lot more possible.
Yes.
You'd be like, okay, I'll post 3 times this week. Because you've already kind of achieved the minimum, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess having a conversation with myself about, okay, what's actually realistic for me? Don't think about what I
Yes.
should do or what everyone else is doing. Just think, what is the minimum that I can accomplish this week and then I can be happy with myself? And then if I do
Yes.
anything more than that, wonderful, amazing.
Yes, definitely. It's because it is sort of running your own race as well, especially when you're a small business owner. You're not like these huge big companies posting 10 times a day because they can and they've got like, 20 people working on it. You're one person.
Yes. I don't think people realize just how many jobs you have to do to keep this kind of business going. and how multitasking, like, all of the things. You have to be like a graphics designer and an accountant and a social media manager. And also you need to be good at drawing, and also you need to organize all of your admin. And there's just so many things. And obviously if you sell things on top of that, you have to maintain your stock. You have to order the stock. It's just one thing after the other.
And an accountant.
Yes, and an accountant, yes. That's my least favorite part.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah.
I hate that aspect of it.
But I guess that's sort of the price you pay for the freedom of being able to literally do your passion for your income, and having the flexibility to get up and go for a walk in the morning and not have to do some sort of commute and all that kind of thing.
It is a price I am willing to pay 10 times over.
Yes, exactly. I honestly love working for myself. Yeah. No, I honestly think social media has come at the perfect time for our generation to make this our careers, because I feel like I grew up being told that it just wasn't possible. And I guess maybe it wasn't as possible when I was younger, because, you know, Instagram wasn't even a thing.
I do think it's easier than it's ever been.
It definitely is.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I was really academic in high school, so I was like very much pushed away from doing art, even though it was like the thing that I always wanted to do, kind of.
Yeah, same. What it did you get into then?
Well, I kind of had this deal with my family and deal with my teachers where I was like, if you absolutely have to do something creative, can you at least make it something IT based?
Right, okay.
And I was like, I don't really want to, but okay.
What did they want you to do then?
It's not necessarily that they wanted me to be anything in particular. Okay. It's more that because I was very good academically, like with English and maths and science, they thought it was a waste.
Right, okay.
So it's like, you can still do what you're doing, but you have to do it as a hobby. And I'm like, I don't really want to do all of these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of made that deal of, well, if you must do something, at least make it something like to do with computers and something where you can get a real job. And I'm like, okay. So I did creative media, and I hated it. And I dropped out after a year.
Oh, fair enough.
People ask me a lot. I don't know if they ask you a lot as well. I think it's a common question. It's like, oh, did you go to art school? Do you have any like formal qualification? No.
Yeah, no.
No, none whatsoever.
I always think sometimes that it's a blessing as well, because sometimes you have more confidence when you don't know what you don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I think so. I don't think I would have enjoyed art school. So I don't regret not going.
Yeah.
I think either way I would have ended up burnout. And at the time, we didn't know I was autistic or that I had ADHD. So that was the main thing where it's like, something's wrong. I don't know what. I don't have the words for it. And no one's believing me that something's up. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I think something's always been up.
Yeah. But I guess because you're so good at it academically, it's hard to tell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think it kind of went invisible for a very long time.
Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? Something's wrong. You just got like those A's. That's fine.
Yeah, like something couldn't possibly be wrong.
Yeah, like, carry on.
You're doing great. It's like, I don't feel like I'm doing great, but all right. I'll keep going.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean, because I was the same. Like, but I'm dyslexic. Like, that actually has been diagnosed, but I wasn't diagnosed until like the last year of university. So it was very, very late.
But yeah, I guess you had that same feeling of, I've had this the whole time.
Yeah, it's just honestly,
it was me for no reason.
Yeah, it was honestly liberating, because the whole time everyone just kept saying I was like dumb or slow, and I had to work harder than everybody else to achieve the same.
Exactly the same here. Exactly the same.
Yeah, but it didn't mean that I like didn't achieve it, because I did. I've got two master's degrees in engineering.
Wow, that's incredible.
I could do it. I just had to work harder and I didn't know why. And that was so, like, I guess, like a weight off when you finally find out how your brain works.
Yeah, you can finally forgive yourself and stop all that negative self-talk.
Exactly. And
Because
then
I had the
focus
exact
on the
same thing.
positive of figuring out, okay, how can I use this to my benefit?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
I had the exact same thing where I'm like, everything seems more difficult for me, and I don't know why, so it must be a me problem. It must be me being stupid or me being sensitive or me, you know what I mean? Like not
Yes.
having, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. But it's not, and that's why I think I'm so grateful to have known that now, because I
Yeah.
really struggled with English. I think that was my dyslexia thing, is English. Like, I was really good at maths, but terrible at English, which is, I still struggle with it now, even though I've written two books and I've got a blog and I've written a course. Like, it's not like that I can't, it's just that it's harder.
Yeah. I think also knowing how your brain works means you can have an honest conversation with yourself about how it makes it
Yes.
easier. And you
Yes,
don't hold yourself to
definitely.
the same standard as everybody else. It's like, all right, well, now I know this. What can I do about it?
And
What
I
can I
think
do
that's
to make
what
it easier?
a lot of other artists can do as well, especially if there's anything that they're feeling like is holding them back, especially when it comes to putting themselves out there on social media. I think it's just about being kind to yourself first. Don't start beating yourself up because you're not doing the same as everybody else, because that's just not going to help you at all.
I agree. I think I've had a couple conversations with people where they're like, oh, well, I couldn't possibly post to the degree that you did like that year.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I was doing it full time, so of course you can't. You have a job, you have
Yeah.
kids. I don't have kids.
Yeah.
Like, I have more time. Don't hold yourself to the same standard.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if I was doing a full-time job and having to raise a kid, and like I wouldn't be able to do it either. Like,
It's a totally different landscape and a set of, like, I guess, rules that you're working with, especially when you have kids. Because now I only work at night or during the day if, I get the chance. But
you
it's
getting to
mostly at
choose when you
night.
work is really, really good. Feels like you're not working against yourself.
Exactly. But
You're onto
that's the
your own
point
instincts.
of being flexible, isn't it? Because now I can, be with my child all day. I'm her sole, we take care of her together, and I don't have to put her in nursery. I can be there, I can take care of her, put her to bed, and then I do my job.
Yeah, it's good that this career helps you with that.
I think it's helped quite a lot of mums. I've spoken to quite a few mums that have young children that are trying to, give this a real go, because it is just so forgiving and flexible. And even being a pet portrait artist, I think, is so good if you're trying to do it part time, because it is just picking up a commission here and there, isn't it? And practicing in your spare time while you've got a job. Like, it's totally possible to do both.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the flexibility of a career like this is basically life-saving to me, for sure. And
Yeah.
as someone with a disability, that absolutely is, I can work to my own limits without a boss breathing down my neck, being like, well, why aren't you meeting the targets? And all of these sorts of things, you know?
Yes, as long as you don't do that
Oh, I mean, I
to
always joke to people, quitting the 9 to 5 to work 24/7 instead.
Yeah.
Woo, living the dream.
Yeah.
I've
But
gotten a lot better about that.
yeah, it is true, but at the same time, to me, it doesn't necessarily feel like work. It just feels like I'm living my life and enjoying it. Do
I
you know
think
what I
the drawing
mean?
aspect of it doesn't really feel too bad,
Mm.
like
Do you
as a
not
job.
enjoy the business part of it
No. It's
then? Fair enough.
that I don't enjoy it. I think it's a price that I'm willing to pay to be able to do this.
Yes,
And I
definitely.
acknowledge that the business side of things is actually quite doable for me now. And I feel a lot more confident in it. So it's great for my self-confidence, I would say.
Yes, that's good.
And that
Yeah.
aspect I enjoy. I enjoy feeling competent. I enjoy looking around at it and being
Yes.
like, I did this by myself. I did the whole thing.
Yeah.
I built the whole
Yeah.
thing from scratch.
Yes,
That aspect
starting
of it,
something,
right?
yeah, definitely. Starting a business from scratch by yourself is such an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah, I think from the conversations I've had with other people, they seem to have a similar thing of like, oh, it helped me with my confidence. It's nice being able to look at something and be like, I did that.
Yeah, definitely. Even like, on a smaller scale, just creating a piece of art that you're really proud of.
Yeah, exactly. And as you said, it's so doable as a side thing too. Like, you don't have to do it full time. I did it part time for a while.
How long did you do it for part time until you, I guess, took the leap?
Well, the leap was kind of taken for me, to be
Okay.
honest, because it was just before COVID.
Ah, okay.
So I was doing a regular retail job.
Yeah.
And again, we didn't know I was autistic until like maybe the last year
That
of
must have
that.
been so hard for you then, trying
Oh,
to
it
do a
sucked.
retail job.
It was in a supermarket. When I was
Yeah,
a
you
kid,
poor thing.
I used to throw up and faint in supermarkets.
Oh my
So I did
gosh.
that for 4 years. I think I worked there for 4 years.
Oh wow.
And I was very much like a having a migraine or blacking out or feeling nauseous for a majority of my shift.
You poor thing. That's so hard.
I think, and again, I didn't have the words to explain it to people. They just thought I was being a baby or being dramatic. A lot of
Yeah, I
people
guess
did.
you didn't even know either. You don't know
Well,
why.
yeah, I didn't have an explanation, so I'm like, well, what they're saying, they must be onto something. I must push myself harder. Welcome to the real world, Jess, kind of thing. Like, everyone doesn't like their job. Everyone gets sick at work, that kind of thing. But it made me very sick in the long term. It's why I got chronic fatigue syndrome.
Oh gosh.
There were times, again, I was in my early 20s, I couldn't get up the stairs. I was
Really?
so tired. I couldn't do it. I had migraines mostly every day, random bouts of nausea. I'd faint, but like a lot. It was not good. And
Wow, you poor thing.
then you go to the doctors and they're like, nothing's wrong with you. Your bloods are fine. I'm like, ugh.
How helpful.
But when I got diagnosed, it helped me forgive myself and be like, oh my gosh, I've been working so much
Yes.
harder than everyone else. No wonder I'm exhausted.
Yes.
No wonder.
It just makes so much more sense.
It's exactly what you said, where it's like, oh, I'm not dumb. I
Yeah.
just worked on hard mode.
Yeah.
And I should be proud of what I achieved.
Definitely. I feel like it makes it that much, I guess, more like a bigger achievement
A little bit, yeah.
because you haven't got the same brain as everybody else and you have been working harder and you still manage to do it.
It's nice to give yourself a pat on the back occasionally.
Yeah,
Be like, oh, you did it
exactly.
anyway, but you did it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But when
No.
COVID hit, I lost the job, and honestly, it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Because it forced you to do something else.
We had to stay at home because my dad was very vulnerable
Right.
to COVID. So I couldn't work a regular job. So I was like, oh, well, I'm drawing. How about I just keep doing that? So I registered as a sole trader and then kind of happened from there.
Is that when you went live every day for a year then, during
It wasn't
COVID?
actually. It was
Oh, okay.
I want to say 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago.
Okay.
I moved out of my parents' house, I guess the year before the pandemic fully finished.
Right.
Had a bit of a stressful time with that. The house was falling to pieces. It was very dangerous. It was awful.
Oh,
And
dear.
then after I moved in with my partner, I was able to give my business like my whole attention then.
Yeah, okay.
And things started going well for me at that point, where there were a few times when I almost quit. I was like, oh, I should get a part-time job, or I should get a real job. Like, maybe I'm kidding myself. And then that's when I said, okay, let's give it my all for a year and see if I can do it. And it worked.
Well, it's smart. I'm glad you didn't quit.
Well, I didn't want to go into like a part-time job or quit with no regrets. Like, I wanted to go in knowing that I tried my best.
Definitely. What sort of things sort of made you feel like quitting then? Like, what was happening?
It was more, it just wasn't sustainable. I think it was a lot mentally to constantly be 1 month ahead.
Right,
I guess, like,
okay.
I was booked for a month ahead. And then you're thinking, well, am I going to have a job in a month?
Yes, okay.
And then that happened for like a year and a half. And I did run out of commissions, I think, for 2 months, one of those summers. And I was like, this is just a lot mentally.
Mm.
I don't think I can keep this up. Like, maybe it would be easier if I went back to a regular job.
I guess chasing the sale is quite exhausting.
Yeah, yeah, chasing it. And trying very hard, I guess, for bare minimum stuff.
Yes, okay.
So then I kind of thought, I think I need to be realistic. But I don't know.
So what changed it for you then? How did it turn around?
I think, again, I was getting in my own way.
Yes, okay.
Where it's like, oh, well, I couldn't possibly film myself. I couldn't possibly go live. I couldn't do these things. I couldn't join an association. I can't make friends with other, like, artists. Like, it was a lot of getting in my own way.
Yes, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So when I kind of had that conversation with myself, I was like, no, we're going to do everything like you reckon you can't do.
Yeah.
We're just going to see what happens.
Yeah. I think that's good. Like, pick the thing that you're most afraid of. And just try it, because chances are there's literally nothing to be afraid of at all.
Yeah, I kind of jumped in the deep end a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's very smart.
I'm doing something similar at the moment where I might be getting a studio.
Ooh,
outside of the home.
That sounds fun.
Scary, but fun.
Yeah.
Very scary, but fun. But it's, the rent's really cheap. And it would be with 15 other artists, and it's got an established, like, gallery next to it. It'd be really, they have, like, open studio events and stuff. I'm thinking, ooh, that sounds scary, working away from home for the first time in a while.
Mm.
But having worked from home for a while, my chronic fatigue syndrome is a lot better than it. It's been in remission for a really long time.
Oh, good.
So I'm trying to just be like, okay, maybe we can take a leap now. Maybe it's
yeah.
Just see what happens.
Oh, that sounds like a really fun opportunity.
Could meet some new people. And again, being autistic, meeting new people can be a little scary.
Yes.
But I'll never know unless I try.
Exactly. And you never know, like, what good things will come out of having those new experiences as well.
Yeah, I want to challenge myself. I don't want to become complacent in my safety, I guess.
It's very easy to, especially if you work from home, it's very easy just to stay at home.
Yes.
Because there's no reason to leave.
I also think there'd be like a better work-life balance if there was somewhere I can go sometimes.
Mm.
I live in a very small flat and my leisure area is literally a meter away from where I work.
Yeah. Do you find it really hard to switch off then? Because you're feeling
so
always
difficult.
Like, oh, I better go and do that bit or...
Absolutely.
I can see it from here.
Well, I might as well. It's right there.
Yeah.
While my partner's dragging me away, like, no, it's 9 p.m. Sit.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. No, it is really important to have that separation, isn't it, if you're working at home?
Yeah, my partner's working from home some days now as well because he's got a different job. And I think, yeah, I just think it'd be better to have a bit of my own space, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get in his way when he's working as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. I'm excited for you. I can't wait to see pictures.
I'm hoping it goes well.
Studio?
It was kind of like a job interview. I wasn't expecting it.
Okay.
I had to send off a portfolio and answer a few questions. They
invited
me for a viewing. They were very clear that the viewing doesn't necessarily mean I've gotten it.
Okay.
But it's not a bad sign.
Okay. And how did you like find out about this?
It's literally 10 minutes away from me, like a walk.
Oh, okay. So
I go to that place every day.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So it wasn't like through the council or something?
No, like it just something that kind of just popped up and was really lucky. But I've been going down there. It's a really like cultural place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a bunch of mills. So there's a lot of textiles. There's a lot of like art classes there. There's a gallery. And they do a lot of work with students as well, like art students.
Yeah.
So now I've been familiar and comfortable with that place for a long time. I've been going since I was a kid.
Well, that's useful then. Not
too
scary.
Yeah. I go down there to mail all my stuff and even get there's like a recycling place where you can get like envelopes and craft materials and stuff.
Oh, great. Okay.
And it's where I get some of my materials from,
For
like most of
packing
my
your
packaging and stuff.
portraits. Yeah.
Yeah, so I go there all the time.
Oh, that's very useful that it's so close to you. You don't have to go too far.
I figured that if I didn't at least try, I would have very much neglected it. Neglected, regret it. That's a
Regret,
different word.
regretted. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're gonna find some really good opportunities with this. I think it's gonna be fun for you.
Scary, but I'll do it.
Yeah. I'm definitely thinking of trying to get a studio at some point.
Ooh.
'Cause I'd like to work with some more artists and do more courses and things like that. So
It's nice to have a community and people that you can rely on, I
yes,
think.
definitely.
I was kind of searching for a community like a bit more close to home as well. If I can make some friends, then we can help each other, and it'll be nice to have people to hang out with during the week.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's good because like art can be quite lonely, can't it?
It can be a little lonely. Don't get me wrong, like I like my space,
Yeah.
but going to like an area where I can speak to people, and there's like even a shared little kitchen area for us all. I just think it would be kind of like back being at school in like a
Yes.
good way.
Yeah.
Was all just working on our separate projects.
Yeah.
Just thought it was
Oh, that
kind of a
sounds really
wholesome
fun.
idea.
Yeah, that's really good.
And it'll make great content.
Yes, your journey of having your own studio and meeting new people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you going to be working on like things other than pet portraits then?
No, I think I'll continue with animals. I did before I was a pet portrait artist, I drew a lot of humans. I only ever drew humans.
Yeah.
So I kind of found, I guess, something that sparked more joy than
Right,
humans.
okay. Yeah.
And seeing how happy drawing animals makes me, I'm not eager to move away from it, I don't think.
But
It's kind of all I ever want to
would you
do.
draw more like wildlife animals?
Yeah, I like doing those as originals. I get to draw something that I don't often get to draw. The association's charity auction is a time usually when I try and draw something I don't usually draw. That's
Yes.
always a fun experiment.
Yeah, okay.
So I think those kinds of events really help get me out of that rut, I suppose, of only drawing one
Yes,
thing over and over.
definitely. It's sort of like a deadline, isn't it? An opportunity to, like, okay, actually put yourself out there and draw something new.
There's also no pressure because it's like it's for charity.
Yes.
It's like it's not a commission. It doesn't actually have to look like the reference. Just go for it.
Yeah.
I think I've made it so much further than last time. The eye looks
I
like a
think
pie.
so too.
Yay!
Yes. Yeah. I'm sort of like trying to get in the details a bit now. I feel like I've done the blocking.
I need to blend a little bit more, to be honest.
What are you using? Pastel mat?
No, it's a Strathmore Vellum. It's the 400 series specifically.
Oh, okay. I'm using the 500.
Oh, really? How is it?
Yes. I really like it. I've honestly only ever used the 500, so I can't necessarily compare. But I like the thickness of it. It feels like I can get quite a lot down.
Maybe I should buy some for myself as a treat at some point.
Yeah,
But I
I'd
really do
suggest
like
that. I do.
400.
Yeah. I just went for the 500 because it said like, oh, for professionals. Like, okay, why not? I'll try it.
Yeah, I
I'll give
think
it a go.
I, what's the word? I worked with a lot of like smooth paper for a majority of what I was doing.
Yes,
And
yeah.
I guess as I got better and used more and realized, I guess, the importance of layering and vibrance, the vibrancy and all of that sort of stuff, I was like, oh no, I've met the limit of my medium. I need
Yes.
to face my fears and work with a different kind of paper.
Yes.
I was so stubborn about it for a long time, too. It took a long time to get used to it, but I feel like I'm getting the most out of my pencils with more textured paper now.
No, I know exactly what you mean because I used Winsor & Newton super smooth Bristol board paper for 6 years.
Oh, you're the same as me.
6 years.
I was like, but how am I gonna get it smooth with, if it's textured? But
Yeah.
I was so stubborn.
Honestly, I do feel the same way because I like that smooth paper. It definitely feels like you can get it down quicker because there's less texture. It looks, you can fill it in so much quicker. You get like to like I guess a beautiful looking portrait a lot quicker as well.
I absolutely agree, 1,000%.
Yeah.
It completely turned on its head, basically the way that I approached a portrait. So it was a bit of a transition that I had to get used
Definitely.
to. I had to almost like learn how to draw a little bit again,
Yeah.
but I was thankful for it.
Yeah. No, I'm finding it quite fun. I've tried out pastel back there as well, and I sort of have a love-hate relationship with it. I love that I can layer light over dark, but I hate that it takes so long to fill in.
Yeah, I feel like I take longer than I've ever taken, which, isn't great.
I sort of try and do a different style, I think, on pasta mat. I try and do like a more looser pastel-y style, even though it's still color pencils.
You find it completely, like, I guess, changes the way that you approach it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, it's
I'm like a
fascinating.
different artist now. Yeah,
Ooh.
more
Me
like
and my
loose and
pastel mat.
like not hung
I've
up
been a
on the
little
details.
bit, intimidated by pastel mat. So it's also expensive.
If you just get a pad of like different colors, because it's fun to try out the different colors too, that's not too expensive. The Clairefontaine like pack of, I don't know, tanned colors. I can't remember what they are. They've got like grays and yellows and things in it. So then
Yeah,
it's quite
maybe I
fun
could
to
learn from you.
try different colors as well, because that also sort of changes the way you draw. Because I went from like a white paper to then a grey paper, and you think of everything differently.
I do enjoy drawing on coloured paper. I've done the Strathmore Vellum, like beige and like grey before. It definitely
Okay.
doesn't take half as many layers, but I do find it's things come together easier on coloured paper. I don't take
I
half as
find it
long.
harder.
Really, I find it a little bit easier in a
Oh,
sense,
interesting.
or at least quicker, at least.
I guess it depends on if your coloured paper slightly matches what you're trying to colour in the first place.
I find it's because I can pencil in the highlights sooner,
Okay.
as opposed to like leaving it blank.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That is definitely made it easier.
Yeah. I think there's one of the colours is called like buttermilk or something, and I found that
Ooh.
one really hard to work with. Because it's basically like this yellow, like on my tape.
Really?
And I
That
feel like
sounds
I
really
can't
tough.
see anything. I feel like I can't see any colors. Like, I don't know what to put down. It's so confusing. But then I drew the polar bear on it. So I recently did a polar bear for the Artists and Illustrators magazine article.
Ooh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really
Congratulations.
fun. Thank you. And I used that because the polar bear's mainly blue and white, and the yellow is very complementary. And yeah, so I used that, and that actually works so much better when you're trying to use like the opposite colors to your
Oh, kind of
color,
like with
to your
oil
paper.
paint. Like sometimes
Yeah.
you'll put like pink, like pop pink down first. I've seen
Yeah,
people
so
do that.
I used the yellow paper, but I was putting down blue, and that made more sense in my brain, I think.
It's interesting when, I guess, different mediums coincide with each other like that. Because I've seen oil painters do that for ages,
Yeah.
like mark down like the opposite color on the
Yeah, like
background.
when they do a landscape, they do like a pink or a red or something.
Yes, and it looks gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Compared to
It's
things you can
because
do with pencils too.
I guess at the end of the day, the medium has like nothing to do with the outcome. It's more about the knowledge of how color theory and values work. If you know that, it will always come out looking well, no matter what medium you use.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's interesting to see how like using different papers and different pencils forces you to work a little bit differently too.
Definitely.
It forces you to approach it, I guess, in a way that you wouldn't ordinarily. I find that really fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Very fun, but you know.
It's funny how we can just keep talking about paper all day.
I am fascinated, genuinely.
Yeah, only other artists would understand.
It's a question I like to ask, just because I guess what paper that someone chooses tells me a lot about how they work.
Right, okay.
Like, if you know it, right? Like, you go, oh, that's a really textured paper. Oh, that's a really smooth paper. Or that one's, it does make you think, oh, so they do it this way.
Okay. Give us an example then.
Lorna Dandy's a very good example of, she uses very, very textured, spongy watercolour paper.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a lot harder on the paper. Like, she, I guess, presses down.
Yeah.
Like, almost right away.
Yeah.
And that's interesting for me, because I'm really, really light at first.
Right, okay.
If anything, I could probably stand to press down a little bit harder sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been very, very light. But I think that contributes to, I guess, the soft look that people talk about in my work.
Yes, definitely. You do have very a very light, soft, blurred, colourful look.
Yes. And that's because I don't press down very often until the very end.
Okay. That's interesting.
But that's why soft, I'm not soft, smooth paper worked for me initially.
Because that was very hard.
The layers.
Yeah. I'm very hard with my colour pencils. I sort of like to make it look like an oil painting almost. I like to use Caran d'Ache's quite a lot, which are very oil based.
Yes. I didn't like Caran d'Ache luminance until I used more texture paper.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Like, oh, that's why people like them so much. Now I get it. But before, I only ever used Faber-Castell because I relied a lot on the sharpness of Faber-Castell and the hard lead.
Right, yeah, on the smooth paper.
Very, very soft, a little bit by little, rather than putting down, I guess, like a solid colour beforehand and blocking it out. That's very new to me.
Yeah. That's what I also like to do with pan pastels. Have you tried that yet?
No, I don't have the budget, unfortunately, to go into new materials at the moment, but I've got like a little bit of a savings thing.
No, that's good. Like, it's good to reinvest when you can.
Yeah, I think when they go on sale,
mm-hmm.
and when I have enough in my little hidden account, I'm like, okay, maybe I can get some of it for myself.
I suggest at least getting I think they're called earth tones, so they're like browns and creams and greens. Like, you can get like a pack of, I think, 4 or 5 of them or something from Amazon.
Oh.
So that they're actually a really nice variety as base colors. I use them quite often, like these ones, and
I can see why they'd work.
Yeah, like this one I use quite often. You know, besides the whole black and white, obviously, I don't think it's quite necessary to get black and white first because you don't really use them that often.
No, I think that makes sense. I've seen people
do
like the underlay with pan pastels before, and I've been very fascinated by it.
Yeah, I've been doing it for years now. I find it quite fun.
I guess you're right, it'd make it go quicker as well.
Not only does it go quicker when you, if you want, like, sometimes I spray the pastel as well, and it almost gives your paper another layer, so you're actually gaining layers of paper rather than losing any.
Really?
So if you find you're working on smooth paper and you've run out of layers, I would always spray some fixative, leave it overnight, and it's given you another little layer.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. So adding texture back on.
Yes. It's very useful. Because I used to have a habit of overworking it, and then I wasn't able to, like, add my whiskers and stuff over the top.
Oh, yeah, because you wouldn't be able to then. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's very useful for doing stuff like that, especially if you run out of layers on smooth paper. Because I do like to press quite hard, so I was always running out of layers.
You've given me a lot to ponder.
You've given me a lot to ponder too.
Ah,
Yes.
I'm
I
glad.
think we're out of time now. That's
Yeah,
it.
you know what? I'm happy with my progress.
I think you've done beautiful progress. I'm loving all of these colours that you're using.
It's so pretty. That's why I
Yeah, it's a
chose
very
this. It's
pretty
like I knew
eye, yeah.
I knew I had to give this another go. I'm probably gonna finish this off camera now because I've basically done the hard part.
Yes, you have, haven't you? It's now just
That's
like
fun.
the bit around it, the subtleties of like pinks and creams and purples.
Yours looks so bright and pretty.
Oh, thank you. I think it's slightly not as the right colors, but it'll do.
No, I think
Yeah.
it's really pretty.
Thank you. Now, it was so much fun, Jessica. Thank you so much for
Ah, thank
joining
you.
me.
No, pleasure's all
Yeah, I've
mine.
learned a lot. I really value your tips with social media, and I'm sure everybody listening will as well.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes, definitely. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us and your drawing tips and seeing
Oh,
you
no
draw.
worries. Thank you for your
It's
time.
been wonderful. And for everybody who's not following Jessica King yet, please go and follow her and look at her art. It's just amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And if you would like to draw along with us, then please get your Learn My Craft Practice General Pet Portrait Edition. And we just drew number 15, this beautiful white cat eye. And you can get this journal from learnmycraft.com or on Amazon. And we'll see you next time. Thank
See
you
you
so much,
later.
Jessica.
No
Bye.
worries. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.